go by, but this morning, just it being a new, how appropriate it is for us to celebrate communion this week. Yes, I think there was a lot of profiteering that happened as folks came from the old country to the new. But there were also a lot of people who were genuinely looking for a place where they could go and just free worship and live lives that reflect the truths of God's word without anybody telling them how to do it. And so, as we come today, gather as a family around this table of remembrance, in a land of great blessing and freedom, let us remember that the source of that blessing, the source of that freedom, is ours only through the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writes, beginning here at verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather as a family here around this table. It is only because of your great grace, your love for us, we have reason to gather here and take these very simple elements and see them as an illustration of the depth of your grace. Jesus took these items. They are prepared on the table before he and his disciples that night in which he was betrayed. Elements of significance already to Israel. Said now these will have significance to the entire world. So he took the bread. He took the cup. We gather, Father, as your children. We gather freely in this great nation. Worship without fear. Because of your blessing, and because of those men and women who chose to serve and to protect that freedom. So we can go into your presence. Father, that you are here, may we be keenly aware of that, sense your presence, and know carefully the elements, be reminded of your great love, the sacrifice that was necessary, our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins. Simple truth that is offered by faith alone in Christ. Later in this section, in 1 Corinthians 11, calls the church to a time of confession, examination. He says, in fact, if you will not do that, you run the risk of coming carelessly and thoughtlessly here. We do this 5 times a year, quarterly, and we begin the new year. Some churches do it every time they meet. I think early in the New Testament, the church in Corinth, for instance, I think every time they met, they saw these elements and were reminded and shared this. The problem comes that sometimes when things become routine, they have become common and people become careless, which is exactly what happened in the church. So as Paul says, I'm sharing with you something I shared before you had to reteach them. At the end of the teaching, he said, now, when you do this, examine yourselves. Make it a built-in time of corporate examination and confession. David suggested this in Psalm 139. In a prayer to God, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. David was honest. He said some things that we kind of shudder at from time to time. He got angry with God, just like you do from time to time. You wonder what God is doing, why he's doing things the way he's doing. But at this time in David's life, and going through the circumstances, he invites God. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Parallel ideas. We've mentioned this before. Remember, in the Old Testament, New Testament too, when there's a reference to the heart, it's not emotion. It's intellect and will. So he says in parallel, try me and know my anxious thoughts. Know my heart. Know my mind. Because for David, they were linked. Know what's going on in me. And then he says, see if there's any hurtful way. There he kind of turns it out. Doesn't he? You know, how am I being received? How am I treating others? How am I caring for them? You may remember in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus challenged the listeners there, he said, you bring your offering, and you think not that you have something against someone else, but that someone has something against you. You know that someone thinks you have offended them, or they have been offended by something. You go to them. You make it right if you can. Are there, have I hurt someone? Not if somebody hurt me, but have I hurt someone? Have I done something that could be misunderstood or that was hurtful? He says, let me realize that. Uncover that for me. And he says, lead me in the everlasting way. Three-letter Hebrew talks about not only path of the destination as well. The significance of both. He says, lead me in the right way to the right end. I want to live righteously, and I want to be in that place of righteousness. And that's only possible if we allow him. David didn't understand this nearly as well as you did. God, the person of his Holy Spirit, has taken up residence within the heart of every believer. And so when we read this, we say, search me, O God. We're not thinking necessarily of our Heavenly Father. We're thinking of the Holy Spirit, God himself living within us. Search me, examine me, uncover, illuminate any kind. there's a chorus. It goes right along with this. A pastor, teacher, theologian by the name of J. Edwin Moore. I got to hear him early in my education. He wrote this chorus. You know it. We'll sing it twice by the time we've done it the second time. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Don't you love it when God gives a tune to somebody like Rick and take God's word and set it like that? This was going through my mind all week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to approach this table carelessly, thoughtlessly, routinely. No. Your word gives us an illustration of what can happen if we do that. The church at Corinth endured great judgment because they got thoughtless, careless. And so, Father, Paul encouraged them, and you, through him, encourage us to examine ourselves. We invite your Holy Spirit, as David did, to examine us. There may be some corner of our heart, our mind, where we've hidden something, or it's just stuck in a corner and we've forgotten about it, but something that needs to be dealt with, something that needs to be confessed. Need to agree with you that that's wrong, and we don't want it there. And we can do that. We can confess that, and we know that you forgive your children anytime they ask. You never refuse that. You always say yes. And yet, Father, we care so much. Spoken name. That choice I made that led to something I did that I shouldn't have. Whatever. It gets in the way of my relationship with you. And then my relationship. So that I can take the bread, so that I can take the cup, your continual witness to your great love, not just. celebrate Passover with his disciples. An annual Jewish meal that reminded them of that time when God took them out of Egypt and pointed them in the direction of the land that he promised to Abraham and his descendants. So they were remembering that he took a couple of those elements and he gave them new significance. Bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body." Process that, you know, most didn't survive two hours. I did that because he loved me. This is God, which is the same manner, he took a cup. He said, "This cup is a new covenant in my thank you. new covenant in my blood. The first covenant is written on stone. And we couldn't keep it. This covenant written in blood. So that God could do for us what we could not do for ourselves. That covenant, that contract that we have with God, signed, sealed, the blood of our Savior, Jesus. Do this as often as you pray. Then in verse 26, Paul wanted to provide motivation for the church. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is something that was to be a part of the church regularly. Like baptism, a demonstration of the wonderful eternal truth. Great place to begin. There will be some teaching today because we use elements that need explanation. Child's love, it was done on purpose that way. And we handle this Sunday this way for that very reason. What mom and dad's here. Sins over, for the sins of the world, so that we by faith could respond.